In the name of Triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us join in the beginning of the Sunday morning services in the mutual thanksgiving and prayer. Holy and righteous God, we thank you for this new day of grace, a day of life that you have given to us. We thank you for all the great gifts that you have given unto us. We also thank you for this, that thou hast blessed these services. Your holy and unperishing and unchanging word has been able to be revealed and preached, and through faith accepted at these services. Through your holy word, you have revealed your grace and your truth. You have shown to us your love and mercy. And blessed that that word, which has been preached and will still be preached, that it could bring good fruit. It would nourish, strengthen, refresh those ones who are traveling on the heaven journey. And that that word could call those ones who are not partakers of the grace, that they would enter into your precious kingdom. And we yet ask with the words that your Son has taught us, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For the introduction of this morning services, I ask to read a text from the 8th chapter of St. Matthew, beginning from verse 23 to 27. And the words are heard in Jesus' name as follows. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye faithful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Amen. This very familiar portion, story in the Bible, it is in many of the Bible class and Sunday school texts. It's titled Jesus helps in fear and in distress, or Jesus calms the storm. And this is familiar to youth and children as well. This text talks about, in addition to the miracle that Jesus does, it concerns faith, and it talks about doubts. And maybe we can say that one of the messages of that sermon, of the text, is that it pays to trust in God. And the trust in God it is a very important matter. This event at the Lake Genesaret, it took place very soon after Jesus had been on the mountain to preach. That the so-called Sermon on the Mountain, which he finished with that figure, that everybody who hears these words and acts accordingly is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. But everybody who hears these words but does not act accordingly is like a stupid man who built his house on the sand. And that picture was kind of the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mountain, after which Jesus went on. And a great flock of people followed Jesus. And he made that type of proposal to his disciples. Let's go beyond the lake, on the other side of the lake. And it can be so that he felt himself tired when he was all the time preaching, and he wanted to have some rest. But when the disciples then departed by a boat to the eastern part of the lake, according to Saint Mark, And then it happened so that at the lake, which was very familiar lake, the Sea of Galilee, as former fishermen, they knew how that lake behaves, and the storms were also familiar to those disciples. But at that time, when the storm began, it was so hard storm that even those experienced fishermen, those disciples, they were in distress. They thought that they will die. They really were afraid. The waves were so hard over the boat that they feared that they will die, they will perish. But Jesus was sleeping all the time on the after of the boat. And it can be so that really even didn't recognize the storm which was surrounding them. That thunderstorm, it was a natural phenomena at the Sea of Galilee, at the Lake Genesaret, when the disciples were traveling with Jesus on the boat towards the other side of the lake. But there can be different type of situations in our life where we also experience storms. And it can be so that the people in their life, they experience such difficulties which feel and seem so great, so almost impossible. They feel like a thunderstorm would be fighting near you. And the matter can be, for example, a serious illness or a death of a close one or a serious accident that has come to the family or some friend has need to deal with, or some other serious difficulty that comes to human life, which just seems to be a problem that cannot be overcome, a real storm. For a youth, it can be that one doesn't find a place to study or loses his job. Or for the entrepreneur, it can be so that economical situation gets so bad. For example, the own company can own business goes in bankruptcy. And those kind of situations may feel very stormy for a person. But then it can be other type of situations where we experience that the surrounding world is very stormy place. And I think so, that sometimes it can be so that even the whole Zion feels stormy surrounding them. When the winds of the heresy and the tendencies of the doctrine and the different type of understanding of the faith and the right and wrong, when those are on, then the children of God may feel that a storm is surrounding them. It can get one tired and weary and afraid. And we may feel that and question that, can we go forward? Is there a future? And sometimes the direction of the world, how it develops, from the world there can be some attacks towards the people, towards believers, the children of God may get afraid. And such situations may feel very stormy as well. But then storms can be also met in the spiritual life, in one's own personal endeavor. When the enemy of the soul attack, and he creates temptations and doubts, when the enemy has been able to betray and our conscience has been wounded, doubts are surrounding us so strongly that we may feel that, is there even possibility to survive? Is it any longer possible that I will reach the destination, the heaven shore? Maybe the most serious storm person can meet when God stops a unbelieving person, a sinful person, when he needs to pause before God, when he recognizes his real state of heart, and he realizes that he has trespassed against the will of God, and he starts to recognize and understand that it's not question only that he has done some particular sins, but actually the whole direction of his life is wrong. And so the Christian doctrine shows this, describes this, when a Christian when person recognizes his state, and when a person understands that when he is traveling on that way, he is going towards the condemnation. In such situation, a person experiences distress and difficulties because of his unbelief. And I think so that this is the greatest storm that a person can meet in his life. In all of these circumstances that I referred to through those examples, the solution can be found from the direction where Lord Jesus Christ exists. That storm that the disciples experienced at the Lake Genesaret, for people it was very, very fiery. And even though they were experienced fishermen and sea travelers, they really experienced the fear over their life. And then they woke Jesus up and they said to Jesus that we perish. And that was certainly the feeling that they had when the waves went over the ship, and they felt that they have no possibility to be saved. All their they had no own way to go over this situation. The only way was to shout towards the Savior and to say that, Lord, save us. So disciples really experienced great and big doubts and fear in this situation. When I read this, the gospel text and the explanations of this Sunday, the fourth Sunday after Pentecost, so this doubt, word doubting, it means, according to original languages of the Bible, it means that we are looking at two different directions. And another example where this fear of the disciples came evident was that where Peter had to, when Peter had doubts when he was walking on the sea, and then he began to sink. And looking at the two different directions that led to unconfidence, and the doubts came from there. And when the doubts surround our mind and our thinking, then we feel distress and we feel ourselves helpless. And then we start to doubt that I cannot get over this situation with my own strengths. Jesus rebuked the little faith of the disciples and also little faith of Peter in that other situation, which also relates and shows, as Jesus also explained in the other part, if the faith is strong, when Jesus said that if one has even a little faith as a mustard seed, that would be enough to transfer whole mountains. But no doubt, now those doubts, they ate the faith. The faith diminished, or own wisdom, own counsels, own everything which comes from person was taken away. And disciples had to shout, "Lord, save us." At the direction for their shouting, from whom they needed help, was Lord Jesus Christ. There was no option to look in any other direction, but only to the direction where they knew that the help can be found. They had desire to take heed of the promises of the God's word, the gospel of Christ, and to trust in the power of God. This story may include such message to us, that maybe God gives us temptations and trials in our life, as the Peter reminds us in his epistle, that the most important matter of our life could be even golden and would become even more, would be revealed. And maybe you have also this experience, as I have as well, that in such situation of our life, our own helplessness feels so strong, and we feel that our faith has diminished, and there is nothing more than just a prayer in our heart towards God, that, "Dear Father, God, help me." Of this little faith, I listened to some sermon kept by Ville Suutari. He preached that in America, so I listened to that recorded sermon. So Ville Suutari preached about the little faith. And he said it this way, that we experience many times that our faith is little. But even that little faith, when it is the right one, it brings us to the heaven shore. And Brother Ville exhorted us, or those listeners, and we can say also for us today, let us not give up the gift of faith, even though it feels sometimes in the difficult circumstances of the life, even though our faith feels so small, let's not give it up. When the faith is living faith, it is sufficient to bring us to the everlasting life one day. Then this text also includes a clear teaching that God listens, he hears our prayers. Jesus certainly heard what disciples shouted to him and asked help in the midst of their fear, and he heard their prayers. Jesus certainly knew the situation where those disciples were. And maybe the question was that through that event, God wanted to reveal his strength and his power and glory. He wanted to show for us little people that it is important that we would trust in Him in all the situations of our life, and especially in the matters of the living faith. Jesus encouraged His own in many circumstances to seek protection from Him. Jesus said once that, "I have said to this you that you would have peace in me. You will have troubles in the world, but stay bold. I have been victorious over the world." And this is what He says in the 16th chapter of St. John. A little before, Jesus spoke to His disciples, "I leave you the peace. My own peace I give to you, not peace which this world giveth. Be strong and bold and are not afraid." So Jesus encouraged and He taught His own followers. And in the end of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, He speaks. He promises that, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." In this way, those promises of God's word, they certainly are true. In the midst of temptations, trials, and the storms of the life, we can securely trust in this, that no matter, none of the temporal matters are such that the Heavenly Father wouldn't know. We can put our trust in Him. As in the familiar song 179, the psalm writer writes, "Even if the stormy would surround us, and the waves would hit the ship, and even if the night would come suddenly, and even if Jesus would sleep, Jesus is still with us. Zion, be not afraid. He will lead His sheep to the destination, no matter what happens." In the midst of the temporal trials, and also in the middle of the storms of the Zion, this psalm has brought us consolation. And maybe the fourth verse for the individual, it goes like that, that if the tears would come as the rain from the clouds, but even if the Zion would have very great problems, be not afraid, Jesus does not forget His church. Lord is the shield and strength of us, or something. In that familiar song, there is the same message than in our text of the Saint Matthew that we just read. And that God, to whom this text exhorts us to trust, is an almighty God. He has created this creation by His word, as Bible teaches us. That the Lord Jesus Christ, who was sleeping on the after of the ship, and then He calmed the storm and the waves. He is the one through whom the whole creation was created. As John starts his gospel, that in the beginning there was a word, and that word, it means Christ. And the word was with God, and the word was God. At the beginning, the word was with God, and all was created by the power of the word. Nothing which is born is not born without Him. So it means that the beginning of the Gospel according to St. John refers to this, that of course the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who was at the sheep of the disciples, Jesus was able to calm the storm because he had the power, he had the strength which was needed to create this whole creation, everything that we see and which is surrounding us, and also the one, also the matters which are invisible to us. He is the Lord of life. And in his power, in his strength, under his power, everything belongs to. But the same Lord of life. Reminds us in the midst of our storms of life. He encourages us to trust in the Heavenly Father. In the end of the Sermon on the Mountain that I referred to in the beginning, he says, therefore I say unto you, be not afraid about, don't worry about your life, what you drink or eat. Don't worry about your body, how you clothe yourselves, and so forth. He reminds us that God certainly takes care of you. He knows your needs. He knows them better than you or us know them. And then he concludes his message to that most important. And he says that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so all these other things shall be added unto you. Also in this portion of the Sermon on the Mount includes the same message, that when through faith we can protect, we can trust in Lord Jesus Christ. There is the most important and significant matter that we can own. And through faith we get the understanding and the trust that the Heavenly Father certainly will take good care of us, as he has also cared for us until this day. And if we come shortly back to the distress of an unbeliever that I referred to in the beginning, this distress, this storm that can be the hardest storm of the human life, which is the distress over the sin and unbelief. The Christian doctrine teaches us, as the Bible also teaches us, that the help can be found through Christ. And as the Christian doctrine talks about the repentance, what the repentance is, it's not only distress and being afraid for the sins, but at the same time it is also believing the gospel of forgiveness and of sins and absolution, and to believing that sins are forgiven and the grace has been received through the Christ. Also, an unbelieving person, where he is paused as a prodigal son, to feel and to see his own helplessness, the solution and the answer can be found from God's word, from the living gospel of the kingdom of God, where our sins are preached forgiven. And that gospel of forgiveness of sins brings peace. It calms the storm. It brings us freedom and joy for a human heart. Once when I was in a missionary trip in Africa, in one of the service events, we were speaking about the same text. In the end of the text, one younger woman in that humble home where the services were held, he had conversation. He said that she has experienced the same as this text talks about. She has experienced in her life that she has been in the midst of the storm. But now that she has been able to hear this gospel, it feels so that the storms have calmed down. The sea is stilled. She has received peace on her heart and the freedom and joy to experience. And it is a question about this, when it is a question how strong the Word of God is. It gives us peace, freedom and joy. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, even this Sunday morning, you can safely start this day trusting to this same gospel of grace and to this that God certainly will care for us. Therefore, believe, therefore, all your sins forgiven and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and in his precious atonement blood. Unto the peace, freedom and joy. In Jesus' name. Amen.